So I'm preaching this morning, simple topic, deliverance from afflictions. Deliverance from afflictions. Deliverance from afflictions. Deliverance from afflictions. Dear Lord, I indeed pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. Bless your people now, dear God, from your word. Correct, rebuke, and encourage the saints of God. Draw sinners to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, before I start, it's so good to see how even this week, Brother Olin was in the hospital. Now he's here in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. So good to see Brother Elder Hardaway here this morning, who has been going through his illnesses. So good to see him here this morning. And good to see Sister Daphne here with her little newborn as well. Good to see all of y'all. Good to see Sister Kiki here before she's getting ready to go back to school. Good to see her here in the house of the Lord. But it's good to see all of y'all this morning. Good to see all of y'all. Deliverance from afflictions. Deliverance from afflictions. You know, beloved, ever since Genesis chapter 3, ever since Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned by disobeying God and eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, mankind, you and I, have been thrust headlong into chaos. Death entered into the world. Sickness came. Tribulations and afflictions ensued because man disobeyed God. But God has not abandoned us. So God has not abandoned us. Matter of fact, in Genesis 3:15, he pretty much preaches the first gospel message. So I'm going to send my son here to die for you all. You're going to crush the head of the enemy. But there are some residual effects of sin. And afflictions are one of them. It's kind of ironic, even funny. You know, I have a little slight cold, but my voice had been perfectly great up until this morning. So even I view this, just bear with my voice, I even view this scratchy voice as somewhat of an affliction, a type of affliction this morning. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. He does. Jesus said that this way, Jesus said, in this life, in this world, you will have trouble. But he said, take courage. He said, take courage, for I have overcome the world. So God, even though man disobeyed God, in the earlier chapters of Genesis, as I read through the Old Testament, we see God's grace, his mercy, but also we see his justice and his wrath. Because of Adam and Eve's sin, he banned them out of the garden, but he still protected and provided for them. When Cain killed his brother Abel, God made Cain a wanderer upon the earth, but God protected him. Even in Genesis 3, when 6, when God looked at man and saw that man was evil continually, God, once again, with his justice, but also with his mercy, raised up Noah and said, Noah, build a boat. And whoever turns to my word, whoever turns to me, they can come on the boat and be spared of the flood. So God, even though he brought his judgment, he also had his grace and mercy. And of course, only Noah and sister Noah and their three sons and their three wives went on the boat. But God gave a way out. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. Even right now, right here at Love Fellowship, our church, we have families going through different afflictions, illnesses, and even some other things. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. So I just stopped by here on my way to heaven to let you know, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. Whatever this is in your case. Because all of us are going through something. If it's not one thing, it's another. If it ain't one thing, it's two or three. It's always something going on. It's amazing. Even in our house, we have a little heating system, and then we have this fireplace, little gas fireplace, and it usually works great. of all the weekends, of all the weekends, last weekend, our little gas fireplace just went out. The coldest weekend of the year. It's just always something. It's just always something. But as we look at the Psalms that David is writing, he's actually going through something. He's encountering an enemy by the name of Abimelech. And David, his situation was so dire that David basically acted as if he was a madman. David did. That's the background of Psalms 34. He's going through tough times. But even in the midst of David going through tough times, it's amazing how he opens up this psalm. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify. Oh, magnify. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. That's a good key, saints, as you and I go through things, as you and I go through afflictions. We ought to still just bless the Lord anyway. We ought to still magnify his name anyway. We ought to just bless his name anyway. Verses 1 through 6 is kind of what I call the preferred side of Christianity. Verses 1 through 6. I mean, things are looking pretty good by what the psalmist is saying. He said, I sought the Lord. He heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. Then he even talks about how he cried out to the Lord and the Lord heard him in verse 6 and how God saved him out of all his troubles. That is the what I call the preferred side of Christianity. We like it when things are going well like that. When we call on the Lord, he answers. When we say stuff like, I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm appointed and anointed. You know, we having those types of days. That's the preferred side of Christianity. But it's not going to always be like that. It's, you know, dark clouds do come. Tough times do come. Those things do come. But the psalmist in verse 7, he gives us some encouraging words. He said, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. We have protection, saints. We have protection. You all remember Job 1 when God had mentioned Job to the devil. And the devil said, yeah, I've been trying to get at Job. But what did the devil say? He said, God, I've been trying to get at him, but you got a field of protection. You got a hedge of protection around him. As a child of God, you and I have a hedge of protection around us. Listen to this biblical and theological fact. Nothing can happen to the child of God unless God first allows it. Nothing can happen to the child of God unless God first allows it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Now afflictions came from Genesis chapter 3, from original sin. Before Genesis 3, there was no affliction, there was no sickness, there was no illness, there was no sin, there was none of that. So in a very broad and generic sense, all affliction, all persecution, all those things really are derivative of man's disobedience in Genesis chapter 3. Now, sometimes God will allow afflictions to come into our life for a particular maybe disciplining us, or sometimes God oftentimes allows affliction to come into our life to strengthen us. When you and I go through things, does it not strengthen our faith? When God has you in a trial and he brings you out of that trial, doesn't that strengthen your faith in the Lord? As the old saying goes, if you never had a test, you wouldn't have a testimony. So we see, though, in verse 8, the psalmist says, I head toward verse 19, the psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man who trusts in him. Just try out the Lord. If you're unsaved today, just try Jesus. Give your life to Christ today. Just give your life to Christ today. If you're in the Lord, but have kind of drifted away, come on back to the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. Just experiment. Just taste him for yourself. It's kind of like I've told this story before. It's kind of like the professor. They had a seminar at this seminary, and this old country professor went to the classes, and throughout the day they kept talking about a generic type of Jesus and saying all different kind of unbiblical things about Jesus, and so finally the old country preacher had taken all he could take, and so he stood up and he had an apple in his hand, and he kind of wiped it off and he bit the apple and chewed on the apple for a few seconds. And he told, asked the professor, he said, now, professor, can you tell me if this apple is sweet or not? And the professor, well, what do you mean? Of course I can't tell you if that apple is sweet or not. I mean, I haven't tasted the apple. And the old preacher said, my point exactly. Obviously you never tasted of Jesus, because the way you've been talking about him today, you don't really know Jesus. But the psalmist says, oh, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. Try out the Lord. Follow him, walk with him, and see that he is good. And then even in verse 9, he said, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. If you are a seeker of God, if you are a seeker of Jesus, if you are a worshiper of God, the Lord just said, he told us we will not lack any good thing. The book of James says this way. He says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Everything that's good that you have, guess what? God gave it to you. Everything that I know, God taught me. Everything that you know, God taught us. Wherever you come from, it was God who brought us. Everything that's good in my life and in your life, it's God who gave it to us. Everything that's good in your life or in my life, God gave it to us. If you're taking notes, you might want to just jot this down. God hears and answers the prayers of the righteous. God hears and answers the prayers of the righteous. So if you're in Christ, he hears and answers the prayers of the righteous. So if you're in Christ, if you're saved, you've been justified, you've been declared righteous. The Bible clearly tells us in 5 or 6 verses right here in this psalm that God hears and answers our prayers. Isn't that good to know? I say, isn't that good to know that God hears and answers the prayers of his people? And if you're unsaved, if you're in the category of the unrighteous, God hears a repentant prayer. He hears a prayer saying, God, I'm far from you. I'm a sinner. I know I need Jesus in my life. I cry out to you. God hears and answers that prayer. But you can't just be apart from God and just live in any kind of old way and say, God, bless me on this job. Bless me here and bless me there. And no, you're not part of the righteous. God doesn't hear and answer that prayer. But he does hear and answer the prayer. A penitent prayer, the prayer of one who wants to repent. And so the preferred side of Christianity, I'm blessed, too blessed to be stressed. I'm crying out to the Lord, and the Lord is hearing me and answering my cry. The angels are all around me, protecting me. But then in verses 11 through 14, God gives us some warnings in verses 11 through 14. Look at the text. It says, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So if you're taking notes, we are told in those 3 verses, it's some invaluable instructions, Brother Rucker. We're told to fear the Lord. We are to fear or to reverence or respect the Lord. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Also, the psalmist says, keep your tongue from evil and from speaking deceit or speaking lies. Keep your tongue from evil and from speaking lies. When I was growing up, one of my neighbors, his nickname was Pee Wee. He was older than me, and he was about my dad's age. And I mean, that guy, he was a nice guy, good neighbor. But about every other sentence out of his mouth, about every other sentence out of his mouth was a lie. Pee Wee loved a lie. I remember one day he came over to our house, and he had some nice looking shoes. This was probably like in the 70s or 80s. He had some nice looking shoes. And so my dad began to ask him about those shoes. And I'm talking about, this is in the 70s or so now. And Pee Wee just out of nowhere said, yeah, I paid $200 for these shoes. My daddy kind of looked at me, and I kind of looked at him, and he kind of smiled, and I kind of smiled. We're like, Pee-wee, I said, you didn't pay $200 for those shoes. They some nice shoes, but you didn't pay $200 for those shoes. Pee-wee just loves to lie. But God says, don't speak evil. Don't speak lies. Then he says, depart from evil. I mean, the word of God is so clear in many places. God says, depart from evil. Do good. Seek and pursue peace. A verse like that can revolutionize this whole city, this whole state, this whole world. If people in the power of Christ just, you know, departed from evil, did good, sought and pursued peace. We could leave our doors open at night. You know, like they used to do years ago. So the Lord said, fear him. Keep your tongue from evil. Don't speak lies. Depart from evil. Do good. Seek and pursue peace. Look at verses 15, 17, and 18. I'm going to give you a quick contrast as we head on toward verse 19. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Verse 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Verse 18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. So once again, we see very clearly that God hears and answers the prayers of the righteous. Contrast that, saints, to verse 16. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. See, even as we read our Bible and study our Bibles, and as I preach from the Bible, we have to look at the full counsel of God. We can't just stop with verse 15 and say the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, even though it's a blessing. We got to look at verse 16 also. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God is against those who do evil. Especially if a person is just doing evil continually and does not have a repentant heart and does not turn back to God. Yes, if the evil person turns back to God, God will forgive them and will save them. But if a person is doing evil continually, God's face is against them. Turn with me real briefly to Isaiah chapter 59 as I kind of amplify this contrast between the wicked, the evil versus the righteous. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened or not too short, that it cannot save. Somebody ought to say hallelujah right there. God's hand is not too short that he cannot save. If you're saved this morning, you ought to be thankful that he saved you. If you're saved this morning, as we pray for the unsaved, we typically do that every day on the prayer line. As you pray for the unsaved, know that God's hand is not too short that he can still save that wayward cousin, that wayward friend, that wayward neighbor. God's hand is not too short that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. The sinner that cries out to God, God still says, I will save you. But look at verse 2. Prophet Isaiah said, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. I was conversing with someone just the other day, and I had asked them about something. I asked them, did they pray? And they said, yes. And I asked them, I said, how do you know if God hears and is going to answer your prayer? And they looked a little baffled. And here it is, saints, right here in verse 1 and 2, especially verse 2. if a person is living in iniquity and sin, unless they're praying for repentance and turning from sin to God, they're just wasting their time praying to God. I know that sounds kind of harsh, but that's biblical and that's the truth. If a person is just living apart from God, doing whatever they want to do, and they're praying to God, Isaiah said, God has hidden his face from you. He will not hear because of your sin has separated you from your God. There are negative consequences when we just live any kind of old way. But I'm glad that verse 1 is there. It says, verse 1 said, God's hand is not too short. He can still hear. He can still save if you turn to him. To turn back to Psalms 34. So there's a tremendous difference in the prayers of the righteous versus the prayers of the unrighteous. It's a tremendous difference from the prayers of a saint versus the prayers of somebody who ain't. Tremendous difference. I would encourage you to make sure you have a close walk with the Lord, that when the tough times do come, when the afflictions do come, when the trials do come, you can cry out to him and know that he's going to hear and answer your cry. And even as Paul said, we read it earlier, sometimes we pray for the thorn to be removed. Sometimes God said, no, I'm not going to remove it. No, I'm not going to remove it. But my grace is sufficient. So as we look at verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Three little quick points on this one verse and I'm through. If you're taking notes, first we want to look at the plight of the afflicted, the plight of the afflicted. The plight of the afflicted. And let me just say this, afflictions can take on many different shapes, form, and fashion. Many things can afflict us. Many things, not always necessarily just a medical illness or something like that, or physical or mental illness. It could be many other types of things. It's a many different type of afflictions. But the plight of the afflicted is this, that there are many. Saints, verse 19 said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many. Not just a few. Now, once again, we know that afflictions originally came from Genesis chapter 3 because of man's sin. Again, oftentimes God allows affliction to come into our life to teach us certain lessons to build and strengthen our faith. We'll see that in a few minutes. But many are the afflictions of the righteous. As I said earlier, even right now, right here, Love Fellowship, it's one of the reasons I was led to preach this particular passage. Many of us are going through different things in many different various forms. So David is reminding us that many are the afflictions of the righteous. That's the plight. Many, not a few, but many. Matter of fact, the word many literally means numerous, plenteous, various, countless. So the afflictions, they can be numerous, they can be countless, they can be a variety of things, plenteous. Some of our afflictions might be just straight out some kind of sinful affliction. Like maybe some of us might be afflicted by doubt or by temptation or worry or frustration. Might be afflicted by gossip or anger, or you might be afflicted by some type of sexual sin. You might be afflicted by unforgiveness, or you might be afflicted by filthy language. You might be afflicted by drug or alcohol use. You might be afflicted. It's a long list of things that could afflict us, but many are the afflictions of the righteous. Your affliction might be something financial. Your affliction might be something medical, but many are the afflictions of the righteous. But even also, as we look at this verse, this one verse, let's look at the problem for the afflicted, the problem, the plight. There are many afflictions, the plight. There are many afflictions, not a few, there are many. But then the problem. You look at the text very carefully. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Now, I don't know about you, saints, but just being transparent to me, that's kind of a problem a little bit in my mind. I think I can handle it better if it said many are the afflictions of the unrighteous. Or many are the afflictions, you know, of the drug dealer or the drug addict. Or many are the afflictions of the whoremonger. Or many are the afflictions of the murderer. Or many are the afflictions of a person running away from God. Or many are the afflictions of the unsaved or the lost. But the text says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the person who is saved and born again. Many are the afflictions of the person who is walking with God. You remember the story of Job? Again, of course, God suggested Job to the devil. He said, look at my servant Job. And he said, Job has gotten way offline. You know, he's all off track. I need you. I'm going to let you discipline him and bring him back on track. Now, God said, look at Job. He's a righteous guy. So, devil, I'm going to turn him over to you a little while. So that could, in our minds, in a sense, if we're not careful, cause us a problem. But I just got to tell you this morning, in the job description of a Christian, affliction is in our job description. Let me say it again. Affliction is in our job description. Look it up sometime. The job description of a Christian is we're going to have some afflictions. Look at what James chapter 1 verses 2 through 4 said. One of Deacon Lowe's favorite books out of the book of James. Listen to what it says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. The trials could be affliction. Similar words. God said, count it all joy when you fall into trials. Listen. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. When you and I go through affliction, saints, one thing God is doing is working on our patience. You know, God is doing some stuff in our lives as we go through afflictions. He's not some evil deity just allowing us or calling us to go through this just arbitrarily. No. James says when we go through testing, our faith produces patience. And then he says that patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Here it is, without trials and afflictions in your life and in my life, our Christian faith, our Christian walk with the Lord would never be perfected. It would never really grow like it should unless God allows some difficulties to come into our life. Now y'all are looking at me like you don't believe me, but I'm telling you, unless God would allow some stuff coming out. Now look, I raise my hand. None of us really per se enjoy it. I like it. But God said, I got to allow some stuff to come into your life that I might all the more conform you to the image of my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. 1 Peter 3:18. Listen to this. For Christ also suffered once for sins. The just, that's him, the just, for the unjust, that's you and me. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Christ suffered that he might bring us to God. Aren't you glad about that? Christ suffered. I'm trying not to get too excited, trying to save my little voice, but Christ suffered that he might bring us to God. So since the Lord Jesus Christ suffered, you and I, we're not going to get off the hook. We follow Christ, right? We're Christ-like, right? So he suffers, Sister Ingram, so you and I have to suffer as well. But listen to this. 1 Peter 5:10 says, but may the God of all grace, even in the midst of our afflictions, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of suffering, God is still the God of all grace. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, not after you have suffered forever, after you have suffered eternally, he said, after you have suffered a while, he will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's 1 Peter 5:10. Let me read that again. God says he's the God of all grace, and he's called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus. And he said, after you have suffered a while, he's going to perfect, he's going to establish, he's going to strengthen and settle us. It's through the crucible of afflictions. It's through the crucible of those type of testing and trials that God says he strengthens us, he establishes us, and he settles us. Plus, check this out, saints. Suffering won't last always. Failure is not final. And Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Again, Jesus said, in this life, in this world, you and I will have trouble. But he said, take courage, for I've overcome the world. So we see the plight of the afflicted. Many, many are the afflictions of the righteous. We see the problem for the afflicted, that, hey, it's righteous folks. You know, unrighteous folks get afflicted too, but righteous folks in this verse. Write this down. The promise to the afflicted. The promise to the afflicted. The promise. So we got the plight, we got the problem, but now the promise. The promise to the afflicted. The promise. Oh, I love this. The promise. The promise. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I don't like that part too much. But I love when God gives us a sanctified conjunction. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Many are the afflictions, but the Lord deliverance from afflictions, but the Lord delivers him, delivers her out of them all. Oh, that brings me some encouragement right there. That brings me some hope right there. I know this too shall. I know tomorrow or next Tuesday, when y'all see me, I won't be sounding like I'm sounding this morning. This too shall pass. Whatever the afflictions are, now God, he said he delivers them out of them all. Then we know in our minds, we have a certain way we want God to deliver us or get us out of this situation or heal us, or whatever it might be. God does it his way. God does it his way. But watch this. His way is always the best way. His way is always the best way. As it relates to illness, sometimes God says, well, I'm not going to heal you on that side. I'm going to heal you on over another side. Sometimes God says, Geraldine a few weeks ago shared her testimony. She went to the doctor. They thought they saw one spot, and they said, man, we're going to maybe have to have some surgery and do all this. And she comes back the next time. They didn't see anything. I said, they didn't see anything. So God delivers, but he just delivers different ways, different however he sees fit. But he's a deliverer. He's a mighty deliverer. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. I love that we serve a God who is a deliverer. So God is the one who delivers. It's not me, your pastor. It's the Lord. He's the one who delivers. It's not the bishop. It's the Lord. I mean, it's not the mayor, but it's the Lord. It's not the president of these here United States of America, but it's the Lord. It's not the police who delivers you. It's the Lord. It's not mama or daddy who delivers you. It's the Lord. It's not grandmama or grandpa. It's the Lord. It's not the banker, but it's the Lord. It's not the doctor, but it's the Lord. It's not the lawyer, but it's the Lord. It's not the counselor, but it's the Lord. It's not the medicine, but it's the Lord. Now, God may choose to use some of those people or some of those techniques, but ultimately our deliverer is none other than God himself. It's the Lord himself. He is our deliverer. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The Lord delivers him out of them all. Once again, I love when God gives us that sanctified conjunction, but God. Like, for instance, in Romans 6:23, it said, for the wages of sin is death. That's kind of bleak. That's a tough situation. Death, you know, eternally separated from God. But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I mean, Ephesians 2:1-3 starts out by talking about how we're dead in our trespasses and sins. Life is messed up. We're away from God. We're walking as the people of the world. We're controlled by the devil. But then it gets to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. It says, But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Oh, I love those but God situations. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. 1 Corinthians 10:13, I often quote this one. It says, No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it, to endure it. So as a child of God, we can't use that old Flip Wilson Geraldine theology. The devil made me do it. No. But God always gives us a way out. If you did it, you just did it because you wanted to do it. You can't blame God. You can't even blame the devil. But God, think about it. The Israelites at the Red Sea, mighty Egyptian army on the following on behind Red Sea right here. They were really literally between a rock and a hard place. But God parted the Red Sea and they went through on dry ground. But God, check out the three Hebrew boys. They ready to be thrown into the fiery furnace. They said, hold on, King, before you throw us in there, hold on. We don't know what God is going to do. But we go on record saying right now, but God, our God is able. He may not deliver us. We may get burnt up in the fiery furnace, but he is able. Because they threw him down in the fiery furnace. And you all know what happened. They threw him down in the fiery furnace. Somehow God will deliver us. The king looked in. He said, wait a minute. I thought I threw three men down in there. But I see a fourth one who looks like the Son of Man. But God. Think about your own life in 2016, in 2015, 2014. Go all the way back. When you were in this situation, whatever that situation was, you didn't even see a way out. You didn't know how you were going to make it. Maybe financially, maybe medically, maybe whatever. You didn't know how you were going to make it. Got laid off, whatever. But God made a way out of no way. But our God made a way out of no way. You and I, we ought to be building up some history with God now. And history is really his story anyway. But God, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers him out of them all. As I close, our Lord and Savior himself, went through many afflictions. Check this out. He was rejected by the Jews, denied by Peter, betrayed by Judas. Many, many afflictions. Beaten and mocked on his way to Calvary's hill, on his way to the cross. And then even on the cross, the Bible says he who knew no sin bore our sin in his body on the cross. Those are some afflictions right there, to be bearing my sins and your sins, he who knew no sin in his body on the cross. So much so that it caused a brief separation between God the Son and God the Father, that Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Those are afflictions. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. But by his stripes, it's one of Mother Moore's favorite verses, by his stripes, we are healed. We're healed spiritually, and he's going to heal either physically, ultimately, on this side or on the other side. But he had many afflictions. Died on that Friday evening. That's an affliction. It killed our Christ, killed the Messiah on Calvary's cross that Friday evening. But early that Sunday morning, early that third day morning, he got up with all power in his hands. So he suffered on Friday evening, but got up on Sunday. So right now, you might be on your Friday evening. You might be on your Friday evening, but Sunday morning is coming. Sunday morning is coming. This too shall pass. You know, Joseph said it this way. He was talking to his brothers who had sold him into slavery. He said, what you all meant for evil, but God meant it for good. Romans 8:28 says this, for we know that God himself causes all things to work together for the good for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. all those things, we may not always see the good or know what's going on in a particular situation. We can know that our great God is working it together for our good. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So even whatever the affliction might be, once again, could be something medical, could be something financial, could be something in your marriage, could be something with your kids, on and on, it could be something on your job. Many are the afflictions, but we can be confident that God delivers us out of them all. Growing up, and I'll take my seat after this, growing up, and I thank the Lord he held my voice to the end. Growing up, I used to love watching James Bond movies. I mean, James Bond was cool, man. I mean, James Bond. I mean, you know, he'd always get in some different type of fixes, you know. They put like handcuffs on him. And, you know, James Bond is handcuffed, and I'm a little boy, so they throw him in the middle of an ocean. I'm thinking to myself, it's over now. James Bond is dead. Somehow James Bond gets right into his pocket and gets something to pick the little handcuffs and get free and swim up to the top just in time. I said, man, he did it again. How did he do that? He did it again. Then another time, James Bond, they run him off a big mountain, Brother Hardaway. They run him off a big mountain. I said, oh, it's over now for James Bond. That car gonna crash. It's gonna burn up. No more James Bond movie poop to part two. No more James Bond movies. Somehow James Bond hit a little button, catapults him out of the car, and then he have a little parachute, boom, and he come on out okay. I said, how did he do that? James Bond. As I got older, brothers and sisters, I figured out how he did that. I finally figured out how he did it. It was in the script. He was going to get away. So all I'm saying this morning, saints, you and I, as we go through various afflictions, as we go through various trials, as we go through various situations, it's in the script. That many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous in the script. But the Lord. And this script and our Lord is much even better than the James Bond movie. It always come out right. I mean, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. It's in the script. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for. Yes, even when we go through various trials and tribulations and afflictions, and we know ultimately, initially and originally, it comes from Genesis 3, from the sin of man, the fall of man. We live in a fallen world. And we know, dear God, oftentimes as you orchestrate and are sovereign and manipulate things, that even through the midst of the afflictions, the midst of the trials, even as James wrote, you strengthen our faith, you establish us. Even as Peter wrote, dear God, you confirm us and put us in a solid place. So, dear God, even we hear the words of Paul when he prayed those three times for the thorn to be removed. But you said, no, I'm not going to remove it. But my grace, your grace, dear God, is sufficient. So all the more, dear God, pour out your grace and your mercy upon us, your people, as we go through these various trials and tribulations, knowing that many are the afflictions of the righteous. But you, dear God, deliver us out of them all.